Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage could help you not get finessed by it. I'm your co-host, John Bautista, and in this week's episode, we're going to be connecting with Kim while she's on the road as she tours across the country with her husband, John. They're in an RV, guys, so RV life has got to be fun, right? In this show, Kim helps us navigate an important discussion on initiating physical intimacy by addressing what prevents connection and what can we do if we find ourselves either stuck in our own feelings or stuck in an unwilling mindset. Coming up on today's show. The Marriage Savvy Podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be used to diagnose, treat, or act as medical advice. Always seek the advice of your primary care physician, mental health professional, or qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition and or mental illness. What's going on, Kim?
Hey, John.
Man, we're talking about a lot of good things this afternoon.
I know we are. And too bad some of it's not recorded, because some of it's good.
Yeah. We want to give an update that Kim is not in Dallas, Texas. She's actually on the road, still on the road, has been on the road for how many days now?
We're on day 10.
Day 10. Okay. That's like a week and a half.
Week and a half.
Woo-hoo. Yeah. I had a friend who once told me that the person that I should marry should be somebody that I could be locked in a house with if need be. So, I don't know if that might be true, or not. We can talk about that on like another episode, but you and John have been in an RV for 10 days. And I'm curious, I think people might be curious, is, you know, how has the sweetness, the honey, the physical touch, how has that been expressed in an RV?
Well, it's expressed just like it is outside of an RV, John.
Yeah, so maybe you can talk more on stuff like that.
Stuff like that. So, funny that you should mention that. So closer quarters, right? And you're in each other's face 24/7. And so,
yeah.
And I think what it is more than anything is the slower pace, and you're letting down because you're more relaxed.
Yeah. Your guard's down.
Your guard's down. So are you asking if my husband wants sex more?
I mean, we can go there. I mean, I was just going to.
Maybe I'm the one that wants sex more. I've always wondered, though, what you do when you have kids. Like, when you RV with kids, how do you have sex in an RV when they're kids? Because, like, we have a washer and dryer in here, and when that thing's moving, the whole RV is shaking.
Oh, like,
you
really?
Feel the whole thing. Yes. And so if you're doing the dirty,
uh-huh. the RV, or the lovely,
or the not so dirty, the RV's moving. So,
Well, I'm just curious if there's like a little bit more honey, you know, since your guard is down, you guys are in close quarters, you know.
Yes, there can be a little more honey. But what we were talking about before we got on this call, what started this train of thought is, the dynamic between men and women, where men, especially when you've been married and you're wanting to be playful or you're trying to initiate sex or whatever, and men will do the boob grab.
The old boob grab. Okay. Explain what that would look like.
It looks like you're standing there at the sink and you're preparing dinner or doing the dishes, and your husband comes up behind you and just grabs on. And if they could see the video, they would see what I'm talking about. They would just grab on.
Yeah.
Grab on. And so I've never met a woman that likes that.
I haven't either. Not that I've done it, I'm just saying. But it's like, you know, whenever I hear stuff about that, like men doing that, it's like, why can't you just tell her?
Tell her what?
that you want her, that you want to be intimate, that you want to have sex, that you want to, and then maybe like reach for her. But like, you know, there's like a lot of women that are like, oh my gosh, you know, I know this chokehold, watch this, you know, and they might try to, you know, shimmy out of that, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, the problem is when you're together for a while, right? You forget that touch with that's not consensual is assault. No. I mean, it's assault.
Right. So
even if you love each other and you don't necessarily feel like you're assaulting your wife by grabbing her boobs, and she may not even feel like she's being assaulted in that time. If it's not welcomed and wanted, it becomes annoying. And then you set up this dynamic that creates problems in the relationship. Like, men do not like to be rejected. Women don't either. Nobody likes to be rejected.
Right.
And nobody likes to be the rejecter.
Mm.
And so what will happen is women will avoid. They'll stop hugging and cuddling. They'll stop getting undressed in front of you. They'll go in the bathroom or they'll go in the closet because they don't want to get, you know, grabbed or oogled or ogled or whatever it is. And then men start to feel the distance and that bothers them more, right? And so it actually cuts down a lot on the non-sexual physical touch. Because nobody likes saying no. But if they're in the position and it's not something they want to do, they don't want to have sex in the moment, but maybe they would welcome a hug or a hold or a cuddle or whatever. It's just safer to not be available for that either.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, I mean, it's sad to watch it play out, but I see it play out all the time.
Yeah. What would you say that can help men kind of gauge or maybe read the room, like gauge the temperature of the room, read the room, how can they be more observant, more in tune?
Well, I think it comes too from a place of maybe even entitlement. I read this thing once from a guy, I can't remember if he was a therapist or he's some kind of dating coach or marriage coach. I don't know what he was, but he wrote this thing and he said, look, he goes, when you talk to guys and they have this idea of what it's going to be like when they get married, and he said, they think they're just going to have sex all the time. And then it's like your wife, you know, when you're dating her, it's like, am I going to get to see her boobs or am I not going to get to see her boobs? And when you're married, it's like boobies, they're all mine. It's all mine. Right. But that's not how it really is.
No,
that's not how it really is. And so it's being respectful of that. I tried to tell my husband this one time. I said, I don't know if this will make sense to any other person on the planet. I probably shouldn't even say this, but but for women, we become invaded. The sexual act, right? We have to open up and we have to receive. How graphic is this? Do we need to put an R rating on this podcast so that
we might need to.
We have to be in the position to receive. And I just gotta tell you, sometimes I'm not ready to be that vulnerable. I am wired up, I'm upset, I'm tired, I don't feel good, like I'm feeling wounded in some way or emotionally exhausted. Like, that is not the headspace to open your body.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's being respectful of that and knowing that for women, sex is a very different experience than it is for men.
Yeah.
Vulnerable way.
So from one of our trainings, I remember you talking about two things regarding how men and women engage in the dynamic. Men are spontaneous, and I think women are responsive.
I'm glad you brought that up because I get so many, and you know, John, as soon as this hits live, I'm going to get so much hate. People, why is it always the men that you think want sex and the women don't? I'm the one that wants sex and my husband never does. I mean, it doesn't matter what position, whatever I play it, I'm going to get the other hate mail from the other. So don't be the keyboard warrior. Just don't.
Don't do it. She's on vacation.
Just leave me alone. But what I see most often, right, is men who want to be wanted. They want to be wanted. And if they want to initiate sex, they either get mad that their wife's not initiating in kind, or when they initiate, she's less than thrilled. Now, that doesn't mean she's saying no, but she's less than thrilled. And they're like, I don't want pity sex. I don't want to put her out. I don't want to feel like I'm putting her out. So I'm just not going to I don't want sex. And I'm like, you're kind of missing it. You're missing it here. Because for women, sexual desire does not look like it does for men. Men, it is spontaneous. They can just have lustful thoughts. You know, I think they did a study once that men have it like every so many seconds. I'm like, how did men conquer the world? Like, oh my gosh, that's all you think about. That's all you think about.
Yeah.
And women. Rome.
How?
How? Because somebody had boobs. And you wanted them. That's right. It's a power grab. Grab the boobs. But for women, lust can sometimes, I mean, I tell women that I work with, I'm like, you just have to be willing to be stimulated. You have to be willing to get responsive, right? And I think our culture, we masculinize women's sexuality, like the whole idea of the porn culture of women being lusty and prowling after men like a lion, you know, that kind of, like, that's just not how it is in the real world. That's just not. You've been married for 35 years. You've raised and breastfed and said hello and goodbye to two kids. And I mean, like, it just doesn't, it's just not like that. And so just giving each other the grace of knowing how to initiate that's comfortable for both of you, how to say no when it's not, that you both will accept and be okay with. But for a woman to just be willing to be like, you know, kind of like, I'm not in the mood right now, but let's just lie here together and, you know, let's have a makeout session, see where it goes.
All right, Kim. So we talked about a woman's vulnerability, but I am curious, like, is there a men's vulnerability factor?
Well, yeah, I think it's easy for women to minimize the importance of sex to men. For a woman, I hear women a lot describe sex as a chore and a burden because it's something else that they feel like they need to take care of or do for someone else. And, you know, a lot of a woman's life is around taking care of someone else. We're the nurturers, we're the caretakers. And so we take care of our parents, we take care of our kids, we take care of our jobs, you know, and not that men aren't, but we're more identified by that role, I think. And so it's easy to resent a husband's need for connection. And listen, men, sex is a, you know, it's easy to kind of take this kind of flippant attitude about it. Like, that's all he thinks about. That's all he cares about. That's not true. The men that come into my office, they want sex with their wives because they want connection. Yeah, they have physical needs. We all have physical needs. And men are, I think oftentimes that's used against them. The need versus the need for physical release versus the need for emotional connection. But for most men that I've worked with, it's very much emotional connection that they're missing and wanting from their wives. Men express the desire for emotional closeness with physical touch. Women want to talk it out. Women want to talk it out. And men want to feel it out. And but it's true. And so it's just like it wouldn't feel good for a woman for a man to be like constantly rejecting her desire to connect emotionally with words.
That's a good point.
We need to be more conscientious about that, I think, and more respectful of men in that regard.
Oh, wow. You know, now that I think about it, as you put it in those terms, mm-hmm. the amount of times that I've seen the woman partner have struggles with, hey, my partner's not attending to my emotional needs. I mean, if we can say, hey, if he interprets or experiences connection through physical touch, it's kind of like the same thing. Like, this is like, they're both connecting, or they're trying to connect to each other using these different methods, these different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And we belittle, sometimes we're very good at belittling men for it. And we'll say things, I hear women say things like, it wouldn't matter if it's a prostitute or me.
Wow.
And that's horrifying. That's horrifying for men.
Yeah.
And so we need to be more respectful of them in that way, for sure. Listen, whether you're whoever's the highest desire spouse, and I see it a lot where the man is the higher desire, but it's not always men. There are women that have higher desire. There is nothing that feels so hopeless and defeating than being in a marriage where you want something you cannot have and you can't go get it somewhere else.
Mm.
Right. Yeah. And so in this world where, like, this is a danger zone I'm entering, but you know, I'm not going to tell anyone to have sex when they don't want to have sex. You know, you don't force sex on someone, but correct. At the same time, it is not fair to be forced into a sexless marriage either. And so when you agree to be married, part of that agreement is we're going to figure this part out. We're going to figure out a way to be physically and emotionally connected because we have those needs. And mm-hmm. I am entrusting my need with you as my partner. And so that means I expect you to show up in that way. So, yeah.
And that's not to bypass some of the issues that or struggles that people bring into the relationship, whether it's the man or the woman. Mm-hmm. If they went through a really awful experience in their childhood or maybe throughout their teens or their young adult, I mean, whatever it is, they're bringing those things into the marriage. And that's something that we are always aware of and want to be sensitive to, is that because we take the vow to work on it together for the rest of our lives, we also have to realize that part of working through it is also being willing to understand that our partners are coming in with some baggage.
That's right. But we agree that it's important and we're going to work on it.
Exactly. We agree that we're going to open the suitcase together.
That's right. I'm not going to leave you alone in the burden of this. And so too many times we do that with our partner. We don't take our role seriously enough in that. And that's, my partner is in my care. That means my partner's needs and desires are in my care. It is my job, especially for the needs and desires that can't be given anywhere else. If I've taken on the role of cooking dinner every night and that's my job, I've agreed to do that. And I'm sick and I don't want to do that anymore. I'm sick of it. I don't want to cook anymore. Well, we can go out and eat somewhere else, right? Well, sex and emotional connection is not that way. We've got to take that seriously and being in each other's care, right? And so that means being responsible and learning how to communicate through it. And if it's my responsibility, my sexual desire is my responsibility. And if I'm not having enough of it, whether I'm a man or a woman, it's my job to figure that out. It's my job to figure that out.
I think a lot of people may not grasp that. You said that my sexual desire is my responsibility.
Yes.
And if I am not getting needs met, it's my job to do something about it, to work towards something that helps meet your need.
That's right. Boom. Man. Mic drop. Boom.
That's a gem. All right, guys, listen up.
Listen up.
Yeah. So, Kim, I'm curious then, like, what can women do to get to that place? If there may be, I mean, we know that each partner has a lot of responsibilities, a lot of things to do throughout the day, you know, kids, work life, you know, cleaning dishes and all these other things. And sometimes it's really hard for women to get to that space. So is there anything that you would recommend for women to pursue getting into that space, maybe getting into that mindset and maybe getting prepped?
I've given that a lot of thought over the years as I've worked with clients in this exact situation. And I think for everybody, it can be different. I tell you what I hate to see. I hate when people go to porn, written or visual, because they feel like that increases their sex drive. I've got lots of feelings about that with porn addiction and things that come from that aren't good or aren't healthy. But there is something that you absolutely everybody can do. And part of that is an internal mind shift. And that is thinking about sex, just thinking about it. thinking about what would feel good, what wouldn't feel good, getting yourself ready for it. And what I mean by that is, like, when you're dating, you put effort into how you look and feel. When I am dressed nicer, like in RV life, this is what, for those that can see me, this is about what it looks like every day. No makeup, hair up, t-shirts, you know. This does not encourage me to feel very sexual, but taking care of my body, taking care of how I look, getting myself ready in that way. There's some real value in that. Pampering, getting in a different mindset, going to get a massage, a spa day or whatever, anything that can kind of reset me to get me kind of in a different frame of mind for that. Planning a night away with my husband somewhere different to get out of the house. And so that's what I mean about my sexual desire being my responsibility. It's not my husband's job to figure out all the magical buttons that's going to be a turn on for me. And sometimes, I mean, it helps. So it doesn't help. But it's my job to figure that out. And I did a training with somebody once who's teaches people about sex and how to have better sex. And she says, your orgasm is your responsibility. And I thought, wow. And it's true. It's true. And so it's not your partner's job to figure out how to give you the best orgasm of your life. It's your responsibility to communicate to your partner how to give you the best orgasm of your life. Mm-hmm. And that's true about sexual desire as well. So.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about that is that I think we put the burden of that on our partners instead of something that we, that we take ownership of.
Or we just say, I'm not in the mood. Okay, well, get it. You know, what do you need to do to get in the mood?
Like, I haven't had an orgasm every single time, so I don't want to do this anymore. Instead of, like you said, hey, putting in the work of understanding yourself, of pampering yourself, of taking care of yourself. Like, imagine like a woman saying, you know what? I know that my husband might be coming home at, you know, 6:30 tonight. He's probably going to be really tired. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give myself a massage and I'm going to get my pedicure, my manicure, so that I feel good. And if he's ready, I'm ready. That sounds like prep work.
That's prep work. It is work. But we're willing to do it early on and we stop being willing later on. And so that's the problem. We get so bogged down.
Yeah.
Sex is a very interactive event and it's easy to get lazy. It's easy to get lazy with it and tired and busy and just all the things.
Yeah. And unfortunately, they're missing out on like the opportunity for one of the most connective experiences between each other. Like, that's the interesting thing is that this is like one of the most important things about, or can be like one of the most important connecting points in your relationship.
Yes.
But you got to take care of it. Yeah.
Got to take care of it and take care of each other.
All right, guys, that wraps up this week's episode on the Married Savvy Podcast. I'm wondering if you guys caught what Kim did. She first identified things that might be going on with ourselves, like entitlement or unwillingness, right? And so first she started off with self-improvement, and then she went towards being able to communicate your needs and desires to your partner. So all of that is super helpful. Starting with us first is always one of the most important things, and then being able to and willing to communicate what you're needing to your partner is so beneficial to the relationship. All right, guys, you've been listening to the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage can help you not get finessed by it. I'm your co-host, John Bautista, and next week we're going to try to answer some more questions. So continue to send in your emails and audio recordings to askkim@themarriageplace.com. We're going to continue to answer those questions and have one of you guys come on the show live. So until next time, stay savvy out there. Peace.